fact that we have in the local history room, it's a photograph taken by Daniel Farber, and he's very well known for gravestone photography, and his works are in the New York Metropolitan Museum. They're in the Museum of Fine Arts, and in the genealogy we found out that Memorial Cemetery across from Town Hall has a very illustrious descendant, George Bush, our president. But the other thing I was noticing, we have to look at this picture. Now this is before your time, but this was before they took that mansard roof off. Here's the Westboro Savings Bank. And
well, I remember the mansard roof. That's
that's only the 60s.
Yeah.
But I just think that is such an interesting. And Dr. Reed identified the earlier residents in this picture and wrote the names on it.
Here's the post office. Is that another location for the post office? We've had more post offices.
I know. Tell me where, let's see now, there was one.
During most of my years here, the post office was in the Keating Building. And then the building, Hickox's building was built. I think that they moved from Keating up there.
And then they went down on
Summer Street. Summer Street.
Yes. But I'm very fond of that picture because it, the horses and the buggies and the... You see, I grew up on a farm, too. Mm-hmm. I didn't live on it all the time, but I remember going to the village in the horse and buggy because we lived too far away. My grandfather lived too far away. We walked to the post office. You were talking about walking. Mm-hmm. It was 3 miles down and 3 miles back, and we did it sometimes twice a day because you take the mail to mail.
Oh, yeah.
Didn't have any mailmen.
That is good.
Isn't that? Yes, it's a lovely
picture. And there's the building that Thompson's store was in. That's the end of the, was on the corner of Milk Street.
Mm-hmm.
Thompson's store was there.
Is that the Chronotype building, or is,
no.
You're talking about it was in this building?
Chronotype around the corner.
Uh-huh.
On Milk Street.
Mm.
In my day, I don't know.
Yes, because they did take it down, and they moved it. They raised it, I've forgotten when, 50s, they took that roof off.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And the second story or whatever, they took that off.
Well, Dr. Cushing used to have his office in there, and the Sonic Rooms and the Eastern Star moved up.
They were on the third floor.
Yes.
Those
are long, hard stairs.
I climbed them many a time. I know they are. Our daughters were in Rainbow. So it was a long, long climb for everybody. It's just very wonderful when we have the photographs that tell us when and who. You know, so often you'll have a photograph and you won't know, and unless you have someone like yourself, every once in a while we put a few out and say, do you know these people?
I have some family pictures, and my mother very nicely identified all the people in the back. I never would have known them. That's a good picture.
Yes, we're very lucky to have that with all of them. And you know that Westboro was known as the awning town? Did you know that?
I don't remember.
Yeah. Because when you see all the old stores...
Well, I think I did read that. Didn't I read that in the Allen?
I think you did, yes. They had all the awnings and the...
This was... I don't recognize Burnap and Johnson, but that's where... Chamberlain's news store was in my youth.
Oh, that's a relation to you, Chamberlain?
Yes, it was. My grandmother was Emma Chamberlain before she was married.
Mm-hmm.
And Hiram was her brother, one of her brothers, and he had owned the news store.
Oh.
And
the post office. And
post office, and then the Sanford's store. I think that's Sanford's came after Gould's, if I remember. I didn't know Gould's.
You didn't know Gould's? Well, then it must have been Sanford. And the round the other side on South Street, too, the, you know, C.S. Henry, or whatever we call that block.
Yes, right.
And the gates. Lucy Nason has told me about that.
Joe Gates. Secondhand. Well, I guess it was new and secondhand, but mostly secondhand furniture.
Well, and she was telling me about riding up and down on that hook that used to, or the elevator that used to bring down things from the third floor. And I look at her, and she's such prim and proper lady.
She's wonderful, really. She's 94 years old now.
Isn't that amazing?
She's got her faculties, and she's, I think she's not as well as she was, but she's pretty good.
No, I haven't seen her lately.
Well, I think you'll find that she isn't quite as good.
No.
But she's plays bridge all the time and walks and is very wonderful for her age.
She spends more time there.
Yeah,
at
she
the
spends
Whipples.
All her time doing that. I don't think she's been home to stay.
With Joe and Mary.
She likes it down there. She didn't in the beginning.
I know she didn't.
She was reluctant, but I think she really likes it. Because she has plenty of contact, you know, and it's always somebody new. And a lot of planned activity. I don't know how much she'd have by herself up there now.
No, I think she'd have to make it for herself now. Because we were, did you know Jane Chase?
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, we were talking about Mrs. Chase, well, let's see, she got to be, no, she was Mrs. Chase,
yes,
she was a Nason, though.
Yes,
and we were talking about what the name of that little pond is where Parker's Folly is.
Oh.
And the young couple who now own it said, well, it's Nason's Pond, you know.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, I bet it has another name, but I guess that's good enough. Because she was responsible for the chapel that we have at St. Stephen's in the Episcopal Church, Jane was.
Oh.
But I was wondering, too, if you, well, we're talking about dances and socials, but you said you did dance. What about your church activities? Do you have a young people?
Oh, yes, we had young people. So we used to go to Sunday school, church in the morning, and then Sunday school. It used to be after church in those days. And then back at 6 o'clock at night for young people. And so you spent the Sunday the day in church.
Yes, in church, yes. But that was fun. And I know I've seen they did little plays and little skits. And
I used to enjoy that. I wouldn't think of missing it. You know?
No. In contact with
Of course, you've been. I was just around the block from church. I remember when Kirkside was built, that because our house backed up to Kirkside.
Oh, I was wondering which house, what number was it?
Seven.
Oh, well, then you were right near the corner.
Yeah. Second house. The one that's a wreck. No, I'm sorry. You can't control things. You do what you think is right at the time, and I feel very badly. In fact, I don't even ride up West Street anymore. I can't really look at it. Because my father always had such a nice yard and gardens and flowers, and it's just a wreck.
But the streets and the houses, the spokes of a wheel, I always think of from West Main Street. They haven't changed very much, Miss Hampton.
No, that's a blessing.
Yes. Well, because when we did the work, you know, and to see how old the houses were and when they were built and all, and that's why. This is a historic district because it changed so little over the...
And you can even, every time I go up West Main Street, you know, beyond the road and start up West Main Street, it just looks so familiar that I like that.
I wish we could hadn't lost all those trees and the hurricane and the tornado.
You know, West Street was ruined, but they are growing back. I didn't think I'd ever live to see the day. But the tornado came right through our house and took the trees. And my father had four evergreen trees, well, five actually, a nice blue spruce, which was about 35 feet tall. And evergreens, and
they were gone.
Worked out.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
Yes, the way that, and it bounced down and up and up and down in this big swath.
Yeah.
But it didn't hurt your house. I mean,
well,
it didn't destroy it.
But it didn't destroy it. I think that my father's health went down from then on. I don't think he ever recovered from that.
That's a terrible shock.
Yeah.
And
when I came home the following day, as soon as I heard about it, my mother and father were sitting out in the yard and just stunned. They were really in shock because he had all the trees down, and I think it was an awful experience. My mother had been at her bridge club down at Luda Harvey's.
The Harvey's house went.
No.
Or the younger Harvey's, wasn't it?
No, it was mother's.
Was Jane's?
No, it was Luda and Emery's house.
All right, then, and Jane was, she took the boys and went down cellar? Is that, I know
well,
that's...
Well, that could be, but
yeah.
This was over, and Luda was thrown out of the kitchen, you know, and landed up on a roof or something. And they looked out and saw how black it was, and they went home. The ladies all went home, and just as it turned.
Wasn't that a blessing that they could get home? Because if they'd waited, they never would have made it. That was... were you in Boston then?
Well, yes, I was living in Boston, and I heard about it, of course. And actually, I was down in the public garden. They had was having an art exhibit there. And a boy came through the garden calling, had the record American.
Oh, paper, yes, get your paper.
And a tornado, and I saw...
Worcester County.
Worcester, and I saw on the headline Fayville. So I said, well, you know, it's got to be in the line. So, of course, I couldn't call home.
No.
Couldn't get through. So I came out the next day. It was a wreck.
Yes.
It was a wreck.
Yes. Well, and of course, that was very close to the Aronson's farm,
yes,
and that
yeah.
was a...
Yeah.
It was incredible how that was flattened.
And of course, the hurricane in 38, that took big trees.
Oh, yes.
West Street.
I remember the story that they were talking about the pine grove.
Oh, yes.
The trees.
Yeah. All in our section down there. We were in an old section there, naturally.
Yeah. So your people have been here since before 1880 then?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How far back can you go? Since you had your genealogy done, you ought to be able to tell me.
Well, I can't tell you the year. Charlie Reed started with Edmund Rice.
Well, that's one of the founders in 1640.
I was the ninth generation at that time to go to the Congregational Church from a founder.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yes.
So I have the, on that side, I have
mm-hmm.
yeah.
This is your father or your mother's side? Your
father's
side.
Yeah. So that goes back a long way.
Yes, it does.
When was this present Congregational Church built? Do you happen to know?
1834.
We've been going up to concerts there, and people from the Willows who know nothing about West were asking when it was built, you know. And I said, oh, that's funny.
It was built in 1834, and then they restored it, or they did some, jacked up the sills and did some interior work in 1869. But it's the original first parish, you know, the Congregational Church. And then in 1850, the Unitarians built their church, because that's when the division came.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, I tell them that it started up by the Lyman School, and they had a church here downtown.
You couldn't stand the noise when the train came
then
through.
Then I couldn't remember when this one was built.
It was just built. They started to talk about it in 1830, because back in those days, too, there wasn't that separation of church and state as there is now. And I'm thinking of some of the records I've read of collecting the taxes. You know, and it wasn't divided between the two, which it is very much
well,
now.
I must remember that because people have asked me, and more people ask me. They're amazed that it looks so nice inside.
Oh, it's lovely. Yes,
and,
it's a beautiful church. They have some of the original silver that they used back in the days of when they were back in the early 1830s. And of course, Parkman was the first
yeah.
minister for that church.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go all the way back to 1724.
Well,
but
that's what I tell them. But I couldn't remember this particular structure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You weren't there then.
No, I was not there.
No.
I seem to remember so much, though, because I ride around town now, and, well, that was the Blois' house. This is the Jackson house.
Mm-hmm.
This is this. I have no idea who lives in them now, but...
Well, there's still a Blois in the house.
I always think of, and then Dr. Knight's house.
Yes.
I always think of the people that I knew
mm-hmm.
in those houses.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any contact with the Lyman School boys? Or
no. The only time I ever saw them was when they marched in the Memorial Day Parade.
I understand they had a wonderful band.
Yes. And I used to feel so sorry because they were all in uniform, these dark blue shirts and stuff. And they were so small. Some of them were so small.
So
I couldn't
young.
Believe that they could be in reform school.
And of course, well, when you look back historically, it was not really a reform school,
yeah.
because often these were boys that were on the street
well,
because
this,
of family.
This is what they told us,
mm.
but still, it made
yeah.
me feel so bad.
Oh, I know.
And they were marching along, you know, a mile a minute, and just kids.
Yes, and they were. They were just babies. A lot of them were
yeah.
very young.
Yeah. Well, I belonged to the Scouts, of course, Girl Scouts, and I was in the Drama Bugle Corps,
mm-hmm.
and we marched in the Memorial Day Parade, too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the only time I ever saw them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, every once in a while, one of them would escape, and you'd hear about it,
mm-hmm.
but I really hadn't heard that.
No.
I knew some people who worked there, and it was whatever they did.
Well, they were almost self-sufficient because they grew their own food
yes.
and they had their own printing presses and they taught them to be, you know, to try to
yeah.
rehabilitate them, to put them back in society.
Yeah.
And they
well,
had their own farms.
I wouldn't think that they had much contact with people.
No, I guess it wasn't until later, in the 60s, I remember that they would come to church and go home to have Sunday dinner with some people. But that was, well, you know, you weren't
yeah,
here right then.
No.
But Elwood Hennessy, the elderly
oh.
Mr. Hennessy was there.
I know. He and I joined the church over here the same day.
Did you?
Yes.
He was a superintendent, or he was a house superintendent or something over there. And he gave us in the library some letters.
Elwood Hennessy?
Mm-hmm. His father.
No, no.
I'm sorry, his
father.
Yeah, father. And he gave us some letters that his father received
yeah.
from the boys that had gone
oh, uh-huh.
and written to him and, you know, told him that they
yeah.
had made good, as they said.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Mr. Keeler was the principal for a long time. Mr. LaSalle worked up there.
Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting in the street list, in the early street lists, they have the Lyman School, and even if you lived in town, and they have the Westboro State Hospital,
yes.
and you would be identified as being up there, even though you might have lived, yeah, but you worked there, and all. I discovered that one time when I was doing some genealogy for somebody.
Well, we used to say that there were 5,000 people in the Westboro. When I went to BU, nobody had ever heard of Westboro. And if you went out of town, unless you were right around here, nobody ever heard of
mm-hmm.
Smallville. And so we used to describe it as 5,000 population and 500 in the Lyman School and 1,500 at the hospital.
Yeah,
so it came out to around 750,
mm-hmm.
750.
Mm-hmm. Well, even when I came here, was about 8,000, and that's the way it was divided
yes,
up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So
no idea how many people are at the hospital now. A lot of it's abandoned.
Yes, it is. They've just, a few of them, I guess, that they keep open. But did, well, you must have left, though, when you were young, so that you probably didn't, younger, you didn't go to town meeting, or...
Oh, I did.
Oh, you did? Oh, yes.
I had to go and hear Walnut Warren. Everybody, you go to the town meeting to wait for Walnut Warren.
Tell me about him.
Well, you know him.
Yes, I know. Yes.
Yeah. And wouldn't he die if he was back and saw Lion Street now?
Oh, yes.
This was the only house on the street back then. And, well, he always had some project. And he would, you know, when there was a lull, he would stand up and he would start to talk. He would talk and talk and talk. He was kind of a character, but
yes.
He certainly had the interest of the town.
Did he hold an office? I mean, was he a selectman?
No,
or?
Not to my remembrance.
No.
Everybody enjoyed hearing him talk.
A little break in the routine of the articles.
Yes.
Because you had practically as many articles back then as we do now.
Oh, yes, yes.
When I look at the warrant and see that it...
What did I see for a figure, though? Their town budget was $125,000 or something.
Well,
it wasn't that low, but it was...
No, it's over $12 million.
Oh, now, but I mean...
Oh, back then!
I saw a figure of a total budget of... Oh, and 100 years ago business, you know.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Just a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
What was the figure? I can't remember.
It was
low 100,000.
Yes, it was. Yeah, 115 or something, or 1,000 like that.
Yeah.
Yes. That was very...
That's amazing.
How it's... Well, even the school budget. Yeah. I mean, you talk about your barges, and you talk about your books, and you use the books from one year to the other.
Of course. For years and years.
Sure, and the curriculum would... You know, you might introduce something new now and then, but...
Oh, but we never were at a loss now. I understand that what do they spend per pupil in Boston? Something like $7,000. And they don't have paper, and they don't have books, and they don't...
They don't give any of that out anymore.
I don't understand that.
They have to buy their own pencils. They have to buy their own pens.
And they can't get to supplies. I don't understand that.
Mm-mm.
And they only have maybe 56,000 students there now. They used to have 90, but the budget is twice as much as it was.
Well, and of course they use a lot of high-tech methods of education,
oh,
and those things are very expensive.
I'm sure they don't. Well, they may learn, but they certainly don't learn to spell or use proper effect and affect.
And Dr. Ossenheimer is our family doctor, and he has a few of them. And one of them is strength instead of strength. And, and further instead of father.
Yeah.
And so he has a few of those.
Martha Ray talks for, for Pepsin or whatever. Strength.
Yes.
Strength.
Miss Black wouldn't have liked that, would she?
She would have that ruler and she would be tapping it on the table.
Do you remember Dr. Reed?
Oh, yes.
Yes?
Yeah.
I mean,
sure.
Was he a trustee of the school, or?
I think he must have been on the school committee or something.
Or maybe the school doctor or something? No, he's a veterinarian. No, he couldn't have been a school doctor.
Dr. Eyre was the school doctor.
Yeah.
Helen
Schumann talked about him doing something with schools.
Well, it could be, because I seem to think of it around schools, and I don't remember just what it was. He wasn't too much of a veterinarian, but he liked the history.
Oh, did he? Well, I know, I've said to you, that what he did for the history of Westboro, to record it so that then when I came along, or anybody else has come along, that we have... You can use that as a basis for your work and see how we're doing here. But and Rachel, of course, I thoroughly enjoyed.
Yes.
She was very interested. wrote very interesting articles and all. So you've seen a tremendous amount of change in Westboro, haven't you? And I'm so glad to have talked to you today and have you share those things with us.
Well, I've enjoyed it.
Good, I'm glad. Thank you.
Right.